Firstly, an apology. It has been 3 weeks since the last podcast was produced, and we would hope that this hasn't been too disappointing for you. We do have some bad news regarding our comrade, Yorkshire Rob. He has been, unfortunately, cast down by work commitments this week, and as a consequence, Craig Adams will hardly be mentioned. The part of Yorkshire Rob will now be played by Mr. James Bird. Thank you. Hello and welcome to the third podcast for the British Penguins Fan Club. Firstly, as we said in the introduction, that Yorkshire Rob's not with us this week. So we say hello to James. Hello, James.
Hello.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm very good, thank you.
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad at all. And joining us, as usual, is the other Rob. Hello, other Rob.
Hi, John, you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. Thank you. How's things?
Pretty good, thanks.
Looking forward to this week's lovely, lovely podcast.
I am. It's plenty to say. Plenty of things have happened in the last couple of weeks since we recorded the second one, so bring it on.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, as Rob says, there's been plenty of things going on. What we'll do is we'll talk about the last week's games, the Isles games, the Flyers, and last night's game against the Canadiens. Obviously, the incidents and issues and all the pertinent things that have fallen out of those games, we'll have a quick discussion. We'll then talk to Rob and James about their recent trip to Pittsburgh. They'll be able to tell us about all the things they've been getting up to, won't they, James?
Yeah, of course. Plenty to tell.
Excellent. Then we've got a new feature. It's called 87 Seconds, where we get a member of the fan club to talk to us about all things Penguins for 87 seconds, hopefully. That should be interesting, or it could be really, really quiet. Then we'll move on to some fans' questions. Obviously, we've been hassling you for questions through Twitter and Facebook, and we've got a few to ask the guys and get their opinions on certain things. And finally, to sum up, what we'll do is we'll go through the upcoming games against the Jets and the Isles and Sabres all at home, and then probably the key game really is the Rangers away to see if we can keep the streak going. We'll get some predictions, which have not been great recently, but we'll try and give you some predictions, and that's it really. So guys, are you ready to get stuck in? Shall we say?
Yep.
Yes, certainly. Yeah.
Okay then. So the Isles, the Flyers, and the Habs games. Rob, do you want to make a start?
Yeah, will do. Thanks, John. Obviously, out of the three of those games, most people will probably be talking about the game against the Flyers. But if I start right at the beginning with the 4-2 win over the Islanders, the start for Vokoun in the net, it was quite a slow start for the Pens, realistically. I think it was about 13 minutes before we'd even had a first shot on goal. Picked up in the second, thankfully. Managed to just squeeze it back to 2-2 at the end of the second, and then picked up in the third. The issue I think a lot of people were having in this particular one was the fact that they seemed to be getting so many shots on goal. We've picked up on our defence a lot lately. I mean, our goals against has gone drastically down. I think it was something like 6-7 or something like that, and it's a very good change to see that sort of thing going on.
Do you think that's because of some of the changes that are going through Ratio? Are we tweaking, or is it that Disco Dan has finally found the defenceman that he needs?
I think he's sat them down and basically pointed out that if they want a long Stanley Cup run, they're not going to get it playing that sort of gung-ho hockey as they were having it. It was great to score all the goals, but you know, if you're letting in the goals at the other end, that's not playoff hockey. That's going to get you out in the first round, as they've gone out in two of the last three times. You know, in the last three seasons, they've only gone past the first round once.
Sure.
So I think it was basically a sit-down scenario and said, you need to start closing this down. And it's shown in the other two games as well. I mean, the game against the Flyers, fantastic OT win. TK scoring the goal. Everyone was a bit shocked at that, always, to see TK scoring. I know a lot of people have bad things to say about him. Some people have good things to say about him.
Sure.
He does try. You can always say he does try, whether you like him or not. He definitely tries his best for the team. It's whether you actually like what he does. I think the main thing around that game was the fact that the Pens didn't give away penalties like they normally do against the Flyers. They didn't let us. We didn't let them get to us. I think it was one penalty the one time, and that was the Paul Martin penalty in which Giroux scored the goal for them.
Yeah,
it was good to see that not only were we defensively locking down, but we were also managing to close down on the giving away the stupid penalties. James Neal behaved himself for the first time in a long time against the Flyers. That was good to see.
Yeah,
and obviously the 1-0 win against the Canadians. I think the issue on that one was that we get Letang back, and then all of a sudden he's gone again now. Obviously, we'll potentially discuss this a bit further down the line,
yeah.
But he's back for one game, and he's gone again.
Sure.
It's whether that's an issue. And then on top of that, we've got the whole issue now of Marc-Andre Fleury. How bad is his injury?
Yeah.
Latest news obviously states that he's possibly going to be well enough to be back up on Thursday night's game, because Vaucoon would be starting anyway. But are they going to have to go down to Wilkes-Barre-Scranton and bring in one of the either Brad Tyson or is it Zatkoff, I think it is, or Zatloff?
Yeah, I mean, probably Tyson's the natural successor. He played a few games last season, so I would have thought he's going to be the natural successor if we need to replace Flower for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, Canadians as well, good thing, is Morrow. First chance to see Morrow playing. Obviously, we didn't get to see Murray. I think he's turned up today, the issues around his flights, but finally got to see Brendan Morrow playing. Whether he sits on the second line or whether he sits on the third line, obviously there'll be a lot of tweaking going around at the moment when Gino's back and now when everybody else is fit. But it was good to have him back or to have him in the team and see how he can play, because he's a good offensive presence in front of the net, and I think he's going to play really, really well. Hopefully he will be one of the key issues in the Stanley Cup run, because obviously Ray is gearing up purely now for the playoffs. He's setting out his team he needs for a playoff run rather than the team he needs to get to the playoffs.
Sure. James, is there anything you want to add to Rob's analysis?
Well, all on the same lines as what Rob was saying, the Islanders game was a really slow start for the Pens. I mean, we're outshot 14-3 in the first period, and if it hadn't been for Vaucoon, we could have been down 10-0 by the end of the first period. But I think it showed the good character we need to make a good Stanley Cup run if we're going to come back from like those sorts of poor starts. So it was good to see that we can win, having been so poor in the first period. Then obviously the Flyers game, I think Rob's pretty much covered it there. Obviously it's the game everyone would be talking about. Tyler Kennedy with the game winner.
Go figure.
He seems to come up with the goals in the big games. I think it's the Rangers and Bruins he scored against as well this season. So he's not scoring as many as the season before he got his quite generous contract, but he's still coming up when it matters, I think, which is probably the most important thing. Yeah. Obviously, the Canadians game last night was a bit tougher. It was very tight, and you could really tell, obviously, they were second in the Eastern Conference before the game. It was good to see Brendan Morrow, but I don't think we really saw enough of him to know what we're getting. I think he only spent about 12 minutes. So, yeah.
Do you think it's going to be a disruptive influence in the short term, bringing the new players in, or do you think it's part of the master plan and they already know where they want the players to play?
I think we know where we want them, but whether it'll be disruptive is another matter. Obviously, you've got to wait for the chemistry to develop, and whether we can carry on winning while that happens or whether we're going to drop a few, I'm not sure. I'm not sure whether it'd be a good thing as well to drop a few games, to face a bit of adversity before the playoffs rather than cruising through and thinking you get an easy run.
Yeah. I mean, we're on 13 at the moment. I mean, we'll talk about sort of the games coming up in a little bit later on in the podcast, but it seems to me that there are four winnable games in the next week, which if we did, we'd be up to 17, and then you start getting to fantasy land. I mean, I think the Blackhawks are going to be an example of that, where they're going to suffer a little bit. I mean, I know they're still playing pretty well, but you can't keep the run going, can you, Rob?
No, it's one of those ones where I think if you commit yourself to playing so hard that you force yourself to try and get that run on and on and on, you actually end up almost exhausting yourself at the wrong period in time. You do need to go into the playoffs on a charge, but you don't want to be hitting the playoffs on such a charge that you've got nothing left.
No.
It's one of those awkward scenarios. You do need to ease off just a little to make sure that when you do start your playoff run, you can give it your all, because it's a completely different kettle of fish, really, isn't it? It's physically, mentally demanding. It's bruising. It's people end up playing through the whole of the playoffs with injuries, and they just carry them through because they have to. So you don't want to be trying your hardest to keep a very long run going just because you want to see those numbers keep clocking up. Okay, you never really want to lose any games, but you shouldn't be forcing yourself into scenarios where you're putting yourselves at risk just to keep these ticking over just before you hit the playoff run.
Sure.
You need your guys fit and healthy from the start of the playoff run. They'll get injured through the playoff run, but you need them fit and healthy right at the start of that run.
I think it's interesting that injuries were mentioned, because obviously Matt Cook's already playing through an injury. And obviously it's good to see.
Matt Cook to his knee, actually. I mean, I saw him go off the bench, down to the changing rooms, and he was in a lot of pain when he left the ice.
And obviously it's showing, because I don't think he's practiced since, but he's still playing in the games. And I mean, that shows the kind of player Matt Cook is, and the desire he's got to win. So that's good to see. But obviously you don't want too many players doing that, which I think why we've seen Chris Letang go back out. Because for me, he didn't seem to be 100% at all last night, even from his first shift when he took that shot to the leg.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's what was the injury. Obviously we don't know, it's undisclosed, but
it's a broken tail, I reckon. He's aggravated his previous injury, but he's also broken a toe.
I mean, just to bring the sort of discussion about the games to a close, guys, is injuries going to be the thing that potentially derails our Stanley Cup challenge?
I would say no, because we've been playing with injuries on and off through the season anyway, and it's not been an issue.
Mm-hmm. James? Do you agree?
I'd say probably not. I mean, I think the depth there, I wouldn't say we've really missed Evgeny Malkin while he's been out. I mean, Chris Letang's a little bit different, and if we were missing him for the whole playoffs, then it might start to show. But I think, on the whole, we can cope pretty well with injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think there was a very interesting stat. I mean, you say about Chris Letang, there was a very interesting stat that was rolled out last night during the game, that I think it's every one of the last 10 games that Mark Eaton's played, they've won. And you're thinking, well, you know, there's a stat that you wouldn't even contemplate including Mark Eaton in a stat, but it's there. It's the same sort of stat they wheeled out with Dupre. You know, I think he was something like 10-4 at one point.
Okay. So now it's interesting. I mean, injuries are the one thing that do concern me. Obviously, you want your key players fit, but we've obviously, we're on a run, without Gino. We've obviously got injuries. I suppose what worries me, and we obviously talked about it in the last podcast, is if Flower got injured and was out for a while. Vokoun, for me, is a little bit of an Achilles heel. And I suppose I question, is it going to be the goalie position that ultimately costs us? But sounds like you guys disagree.
It's awkward because Vokoun's a fantastic backup, but he is just that. He's a backup. I can't see us really having a full Stanley Cup run with him as your main guy. So they do need to protect Math. If it's a case of they give Math a break and give him an extended period, put him on the IR so he's got a guaranteed 7 days off, whatever the actual issue is, because we're still not sure whether it's a concussion or whether it's something else. Bring in somebody like Brad Thiessen, just give Vokoun and Thiessen the rotation, keep Math on the IR to give him an extended break, and then bring him back with 5 or 6 games to go before the playoff run, just to get him game fit again.
Yeah,
I think that might end up being how they work it.
Sure.
I don't think they could pull a full Stanley Cup run with Vokoun in the net.
No, sure. James, do you want the last word on this?
I mean, on the goalie issue, I think Marc-Andre Fleury obviously had a great run in 09 for the Cup. But other times he has shown that he can be the Pens Achilles heel. So I don't know whether Vorkoon would necessarily be that weak, or whether he could have a good run like obviously Fleury has at times. Because I mean, he's a good goaltender, but obviously his age is more of an issue now. Is he slowing down? Would he be able to play that well for such a long stretch?
Sure.
I don't know. Obviously, we'd rather have Marc-Andre Fleury back.
Yeah, sure. Okay, then, guys. Let's. We could go on about that for all evening, but let's draw that one to a close. And the next part of the podcast is where Rob and James tell you all about their little trip over to the United States. So, James, do you want to tell us what you did in Pittsburgh? You can tell us as little or as much as you like.
Well, it was a very early start making the way there. I watched the Toronto game. Thursday the 14th, I think it was. I went straight to the train station after, so nice and early. The flight over was uneventful. And I remember the first thing I thought getting to Pittsburgh was it's very, very quiet in that airport. Very quiet airport for something that's so big. The first view of Pittsburgh, I didn't actually go through the Fort Pitt Tunnel, which is another preferred method of seeing Pittsburgh for the first time. But the first drop off on my super shuttle took us west of the city. So we came in from next to Heinz Field.
Okay.
But I think you still got quite a bit of the effect of that Pittsburgh skyline, which is obviously quite distinctive. For such a small city, it's got a very clear skyline with plenty of nice big buildings that sort of really stand out, especially later in the evening.
Mm.
I stayed at the William Penn Hotel, which is in downtown, and I'm sure it's probably best known for its lobby, which is quite spectacular, really, especially for a hotel that's actually quite reasonably priced, that it has such a ornate lobby that's almost like going to the Ritz.
Wow.
On the Friday night, I took in Mount Washington, which if anyone ever goes to Pittsburgh, it's a great place to look at the skyline from. As you walk down the front of Mount Washington, there's plenty of viewing platforms. You can see the night sky with all the lights of the skyscrapers, which is very good to see. I mean, it's a really good view if you're not raining or cloudy, which obviously is a bit of a downer, but especially if you go incline on the way up, which is a strange experience going up a railway that's probably more than 45 degrees steep and lurches quite a bit. You do wonder if it's going to stop with the doors lining up. So the day after, obviously the first game in Pittsburgh was the rim. I got there nice and early because you never know really how those sort of things work when you go to a game for the first time. It's not really like turning to a football game where you know that once you get there, you're sort of penned in. You've not got many options other than very expensive pies and very expensive beer. it was a very nice touch. As you go in, you get a free program. Obviously, it was a giveaway weekend as well, so there was some car stickers, I think. Not that I have a car to stick them on. I was in the top level. So once you came out, the weird thing is how the concourse is sort of at the back of the seats and you can see straight over the arena as soon as you come out. And it's amazing just to see it in person compared to on TV because the ice pad looks absolutely tiny in comparison to all the seats. Whereas on TV, you get such a view of the ice that you think it's massive. Mm. And the seats are raked so steep that you get a good view from wherever you sat. I was sat, I think, two rows from the back for the first game. But there was no sightline issues because of just how steep all the seating was. And it was absolutely amazing view to see. The atmosphere before the game is incredible. It's not really like much you see in the UK when you go to a sporting event. And the intro video that we all get to see on Game Centre before the game is even better in person, especially as it ties in with all the ribbon LEDs. And it's really strange having the intermissions compared to when you watch it on TV. When you watch on TV, the intermission seems like such a long period of time waiting for the next period to start. But when you're at the game, by the time you've got up, gone and got a beer, and you've got back to your seat, the second period is about to start, which is quite strange compared to the sort of dragging on of the intermissions when you're watching on TV and you're just like, can the next period start, please? It's 1 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, oh, yeah, sorry, I'm just going to butt in there, if you don't mind, James. The whole issue of the ice and the arena. I mean, I've been lucky enough to travel around the world watching various sports, cricket, rugby, football, the various arenas around the globe, and they're all fantastic arenas, but you always seem so far away from the action, mainly because they're played on big fields. And I think the issue with the console is that you're close up because the ice sheet itself, the surface, is quite small. If you're up in the upper tiers, it's almost as if you're looking down onto a little table hockey game at times. You can see everything. It's very strategic when you're up there looking down. You can see all the play going on the ice, and you can actually see all the tactics. I mean, the third game I went to, I was actually down close to the ice, and it was a completely different experience when you're literally ice side. It was... You find yourself looking at different things depending upon where you're seated in the arena. If you're sitting up top, you're watching the game as a whole and paying attention to everything going on in the ice. But if you're right down close to it, you're just paying attention to what's going on right in front of you. I mean, it was my second trip to watch the Pens at the console. I'm pretty much enjoying it at the moment because it was first time I went, I saw the Rangers get beaten 1-0. Math was in goal, so that was a shutout. So the second game I saw yet again was a Rangers shutout. So overall, I mean, four games seen at the console, four wins for the Pens. I really can't fault my record at going over there at the moment.
I think we need to get you over there again then.
There's a lot of comments about that, saying that we weren't allowed to come back until the... in case of, are we the reason for the streak? And think, well... I would love to stay. There's lots of reasons I would love to stay. Cost and girlfriend looking after dog would have been the prohibitive reasons. Mm. I'm sure I could have found a way of getting around those. But, it wouldn't have been the sort of thing I could have just handled as a phone call from the opposite side of the Atlantic. I mean, the main thing for me on that Rangers game was the Tyler Kennedy's power play goal. It was one of those scenarios where the Pens were just moving the puck around left, right and centre. And I think they knocked off about 17 or 18 passes and nobody was ready to shoot. They were obviously looking for the perfect shooting lane. And as fans, we're up high and we're looking down and you think you can see the perfect shooting lane. So why aren't they shooting? And after they've passed it 8 or 9 times, the fans started getting on their backs and they're shouting, shoot it, shoot it. And it got almost to a crescendo as they're shouting, shoot it, shoot it. And all of a sudden, it's out wide in an area where you wouldn't have thought there'd be a good shooting lane. And Kennedy smacks it one, and it's a goal. I mean, all of a sudden, all that discontent is completely forgotten, and the place goes absolutely mental. So it's the whole experience. You really do feel like you're right on top of it because it's such a small playing surface and such a big arena looking down over the top of it. The next game we saw was the following day, St. Patrick's Day. Fantastic. Trying to get across Pittsburgh with a St. Patrick's Day parade going on. What an experience. It was one of those ones where they put out a message saying, allow yourself a little bit of extra time to get there. I'm sorry, but where the console's located happens to be just the other side of the main route that the St. Patrick's Day parade walks down. So trying to get across that when there's thousands of people walking up the road. At one point, I found myself in the middle of a load of Irish dancers, and they stopped and started dancing. I didn't know whether I was supposed to do a jig or not. So I thought, no, I'm just keep scarpering, get across the other side of the road. I don't want anyone to think I can do this. I'm not river dancing in for anybody. Bruins game at that point in time, it's strange to find yourself going to an ice hockey game at 12:30 on a Sunday afternoon. You know, normally at that point in time, I've just come back from walking the dog. I'm sitting down with my feet up, watching telly. No plans at all as to what I'm going to be doing during the day. But at this point in time, I find myself sitting down there with a pint in my hand, watching the ice hockey. Chara, what can you say? First time I saw him actually in person, smack a one-timer. It's an experience that you're going to probably, you could say, go down in memory. It will do because... thankfully, he missed the goals. But the sound of that puck from when he smacked it, hitting that board, was deafening. And you're thinking, I really wouldn't want to get a body in front of that. I mean, if that's what the noise it makes when it hits plexiglass and the boards, imagine what it does when it hits somebody on the knee or hits somebody in the face, as he did with Vitali a few years ago. And you're thinking, obviously he always wins the hardest shot competitions and fastest shot competitions, and you're thinking, I really don't want to get in front of one of those. It was a good result in the end, a 3-1 win for us. The main thing for me in that game was just watching Sid coming across the blue line. And he's picking up the puck from deep and he's moving forward. The sheer speed, you watch him on TV and you know he's fast because you can see the way he gets past the players. But when you actually see it in person and he picks up the puck and he moves, and in the matter of a count of maybe 3 or 4 seconds, he's gone 3/4 of a length of the ice. And it's just a joy to watch. That's the game where we lost Letang. He went out at the end of the first period and he didn't come back for the second or third. But we still managed to hold on to win for that one. It was a fantastic experience to then come out of there. So you're thinking, I've come here and within 2 days I've seen 2 games and 2 wins against 2 very strong sides, 2 fantastic defensive displays, including a shutout where Maff has set his franchise record for the shutouts. I don't know what James thought about seeing 2 such great games in such a short period of time. But for me, it was amazing. How did you find them, James?
It was quite a bizarre experience. A month previous, I hadn't even booked the flights for the trip. So to have gone from not having a trip booked to having seen 2 games back-to-back and 2 wins was, pretty hard to get my head around. For a while afterwards, I was thinking, have I really just seen 2 Pens games this weekend? And the other thing I think about the Bruins game was meeting people in the arena. Obviously, I met up with you beforehand in the brew house. And then during the first intermission, we met up with an American. And just how friendly everyone over there is when they found out you're British and you've come all the way just to watch ice hockey.
Yeah, good point, actually. Big shout out to Lowell. That was fantastic to meet.
Quite incredible, really.
So you would say it's well worth doing, boys?
Oh, yeah. I think one of the issues is choosing your games, possibly, is the one. It's fantastic. I mean, the first time I went, it was just for a single game, and it was a great experience. But you come away thinking, yeah, we've got the win. It's a long way to go just for the one game. If you're going to do it, check the schedules and try and get more than one game in.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing. The schedule this March obviously worked out pretty good for being able to get quite a short trip with 3 games together. And the other thing I'd say is try and meet any Americans you can, because a lot of them are really quite nice, especially the ones off the Twitter. Sarah as well, who I met on the Tuesday, but I know that Rob had met her on the Sunday, but I managed to get lost in Pittsburgh, which is probably quite typical. You've got no internet and you managed to get lost. Can't have Google Maps. But there you go. I think that's what happens sometimes when you go to a different city.
Yeah.
Excellent. Oh, yeah. So I think then, guys, we need to get a club tour set up at some point and go en masse. Right then, the next part of the podcast is our new feature called 87 Seconds, where we invite members of the fan club to talk to us and give us 87 seconds about the Penguins. And this podcast, we've got Fab from London. Hi, Fab.
Yeah, hi everybody. I'm Fab, as you said, from London. I do not sound very British. That's because I was born in Germany and they haven't given me a passport yet. I've been living in London for just about a year now. Started a job here as a journalist and been a Pens fan since '93, I think.
Oh, you want to keep your powder dry, Fab? Because I'm about to start the clock.
Okay, so basically I'm going to give you my Pens creds. So basically I've been a fan since about 93. I've got a Lemieux jersey, got a signed Jager jersey, and a Crosby jersey now as well. And I don't know, how did I come to the Pens, I guess would be an interesting thing. Basically, I'm from a town in Germany that's called Duisburg, which is it's a steel city. And I think that connects lots of us Pens fans. You know, you guys have talked about you've got some people from Sheffield, and it's kind of the same thing.
30 seconds.
The team in my town is called the Foxes, but I was never a fan of them. I was a fan of one of the teams from a closer town, which is called Krefeld Pinguine, and they are Penguins as well. So when I started watching NHL, it's just natural to go to the Pens. And that's how I came to be. And now I'm in the UK, So I guess I'm a, you know, Brit pen now. They just need to give me a passport at some point. And then
60 seconds
will be perfect. Well, that was 60 seconds. Wow. Well, what else can I say? I don't know. I'll try to catch as many games as I can. Usually I fall asleep. I think that's the theme. You know, often I fall asleep. I used to be a student. I was a lot better. I could watch a lot more games in the middle of the night. Now I just usually catch up with them later. And recently I've been very happy because I wake up in the morning and the pens.
That's the 87 seconds. Well done,
there
Fab.
There you go.
Well done, Fab. Well, thank you for giving us an insight into how you become a pen. It was very interesting because we've all got our individual stories, and I think it's interesting wherever you're from in Europe, how you find American teams. So it was really good to hear, obviously, the twist being obviously from Germany. So it's good that, you know, an organisation like the Pens just it is global. You know, the NHL is a global brand, and hopefully, you know, the organisation will realise that at some point.
Hopefully I'll get there one day. I've never really been to the US. I've been in transit in LAX once on the way to Australia, and that was about it.
Well, absolutely. And if you get your British passport as well, then you'll be made.
Yeah, they'll let me in easier or something. I don't know.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far, Fab. I wouldn't go that far. Well, thank you for being the first victim, I guess, really, of 87 seconds. And well done for making the 87 seconds.
Yeah, it's kind of hard, actually. I'm used to talking a lot more. Thanks for having me, and good luck. Keep the show going. I'll be listening.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Fab.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Right then, joining us now on the podcast is Jamie from Liverpool. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, Jonathan. Hello.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. I'm just a bit tired after last night and stuff, you know.
It's a hard life, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, yes.
Are you ready for it to get a little bit harder and get your 87 seconds in?
The awkward 87 seconds, yes. That's, okay. Cute.
Jamie is just about to start his 87 seconds, starting from now.
Well, you know, Pittsburgh are going really well at the moment, aren't they? I mean, last night was a bit tough, definitely, against the Habs, but, you know, the class and, you know, everything that's been done by Sidney Crosby as of late is just fantastic, and he's really powered us on to 13 wins in a row now. And, you know, that's the same amount of wins in the streak than bloody Philly have all season, so that's just bragging rights even more. Also, you know, Ray Shadow is doing really well with his... with his trading. I'm really happy about the trade tomorrow and Doug the Fog, and, you know, can't wait to see them. And, you know, I really hope the Penguins can, you know, challenge for the Cup. And, you know, I really want to see another Cup. I've only seen one in my lifetime, and, you know, I'm a bit jealous of everyone who was there for the Mario time. So let's go for the Cup. I hope players like Morrow and Crosby can start scoring, and I hope Neil can pick up his form again, and I really want to see the Cup back at Pittsburgh. And yeah, I don't really know what else to say. Let's hope that Doug Murray really, you know, destroys everyone that comes in his path. You know, he's not in the Penguins jersey, and maybe we can see Sid lift that Cup again like what he did in 09. And yeah, thanks for having me on.
That's your 87 seconds, Jamie. Well done.
Thank you. Yeah, that's good.
You got there in the end, sir.
It sounded a lot better than me, but that was pretty much it.
No, you did well. You did
thank
well.
Thank you.
So, cheers. Thank you very much. Thank you for obviously following us and participating during the games. We do appreciate it, even though we do give you a bit of ribbing.
A bit of ribbing? Come on, that's a bit unfair, isn't it?
Okay, a lot of ribbing.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's more like it.
Anyway, you've obviously got some copy to do, Mini Rob Rossi. So we're going to say thank you very much and speak to you soon.
All right, see you later, guys.
See
bye. Cheers, mate.
See ya.
And the next bit of the podcast is the fan questions. The two guys have no idea what I'm about to ask them. Do you?
Honestly, no, this could actually go so badly wrong, but go on then.
As with the rest of the podcast, it's going to go badly wrong anyway. So the first question comes from the Twitter legend himself, Evil Shero. And he asks, is Ray Shero the sexiest GM in the NHL? Boys?
Well,
I think it's a yes or no, really, isn't it? And we move on.
Yeah, I think it's... I'm going to go no. I wouldn't like to say who is, but I'm going to go no on that one.
That's intriguing in itself, but we'll move on. James?
Well, I can't say I've looked at many GM pictures, so I'll just say yes, because he's the Pens GM.
I'm going to say yes, because for me, there seems to be just an element of vampire about him. But I think that says more about me than it does about Ray Shero, so we'll move on swiftly.
Yeah, we'll save that one.
Yeah, the second question is from Jared Earl, who asks, if the Pens are this good without Malkin, what will his return mean? James?
I think it's hard to say, really. I think he's been better normally when Sid's out of the lineup. One, I think it's normally one or the other's playing at the best. So whether it'll make a massive difference, I'm not sure. When Sid has a bad night, obviously it'll make up for that. Not that he has many. And obviously it's always better when you can have two people causing the opposition trouble.
I don't think it'll make that much difference. I think we've got a good production line going at the moment. So when he comes in, it'll just be different people scoring. I don't think the results will change that much. I think we've just got a very good system that they play in Pittsburgh, and I think it will work with whoever you drop into it. Mm. It's just nice to have the top two players in the NHL in your own team.
I mean, I suppose the question is, are we a better team where we've got one out injured and the other one playing than sort of trying to accommodate the two? But I guess that's probably a wider conversation for another podcast, really. The next question is on Twitter, and it's a guy, and I've only got his Twitter handle, which is NJ Spanos. Apologies if I've got that wrong, or NJS Panos, I don't know. Anyway, he asks the question, should a penalty have been called on Gionta when Frolley was hurt yesterday? He says that the rule book says yes, and I think he quoted Rule 69. What you thought, guys?
It's an awkward one, because if you read the rules, it states that you can't push somebody into the goalie, and then you have to look at the player and say, did he actually push him? I mean, the initial coverage on TV made it look like he tripped over Gionta's feet as he was trying to turn away, and that then threw him head first into Fleury. So it's hard to say whether he actually pushed him or not. I don't think he pushed him, so I don't think he could have called a penalty on it.
Okay. James?
I think it's difficult to tell from the video what Gionta was trying to do. He looks like in some way he could be trying to trip Kennedy up, but it's really hard to tell. I think he should have definitely dropped the gloves with Matt Cook after. I mean, if you've accidentally caused an injury to a franchise goaltender, I think you've got to stand up and take a bit of punishment for it.
Yeah, I think it's just about having the cojones to follow it through, and clearly that didn't happen. But there we go. I'm sure we could find plenty of people that give us an answer on that one. We'll move on swiftly to the last question. And again, this one could be open-ended and us be on for hours, but I think we'll just leave it to one-word answers, guys. And the question comes from MK Kid on Twitter, and they ask, do you think Crosby is too protected by referees? Yes or no?
No.
James?
No.
Oh, I'm going to say no as well. So that's a no then. We stand on our decisions, and no is the answer to that one. The last thing for us to do before we wrap the podcast up is look at the next few games. We play the Jets tomorrow evening. We've got the Isles on Saturday, the Sabres on Tuesday, and then we are at the Rangers next Wednesday. So we need some predictions for those next four games. Rob, do you want to start?
Yeah, certainly. Winnipeg game, I've got us a 5-2 win. Evander Kane's beginning to knock in the points for Winnipeg, but I think they just seem to always let it go in the third period. And we like our third period scoring, so I think it'll probably be 2-2 all the way into the third, and then we'll just charge over them in the last 10 minutes or so. The Islanders game, I think this is the game where you see Morrow actually break through. I think this is the game where he shows what he can do, so I think he'll kick in with probably 2 goals and an assist in a 3-0 win. I'm going for a shutout in that one. And the Buffalo game, I don't think they've really sorted out what they're doing. Now they've got rid of Lindy Ruff. I don't think they seem to have much of a clue. They have a couple of good games, they have a couple of bad games. I'm going 4-1 win for us, so I'm going for 3 wins.
And then the Rangers?
Well, that's the one where people are going to expect the streak to probably come to an end at the MSG. I think we will lose the game at the Rangers, but then we'll win the return game a couple of days later. I'm not going to give a score on that one, though, because I haven't got a clue how that one's going to end up.
James, do you want to be bold?
I think we'll most certainly beat the Jets. They're from a very weak division, and I think if you don't beat the teams in that division, then you're not going to really challenge for a cup. On the score, well, they do concede quite a few more than they score, so I'd say 3-1 to the Pens. Then moving on to the Isles. I'm always a bit nervous about playing the Islanders. I'm not really sure why. They're just one of those teams that, despite the fact, as long as I've watched the games regularly, they've been rubbish. They seem to manage to cause us trouble and make it difficult. So I see that one's a bit of a tight affair. And I'd say 3-2 to the Pens. Buffalo are a team that always make me feel uneasy, especially when they come to console. So I think that could be where we might see the streak end. But I'd like to think we'd win in overtime. And the Rangers, I'm always quite confident when we go to Madison Square Garden, so I'm going to say we'll win that 1-3-1.
Wow, excellent. There you go, Rob. No missing about, 3-1 win.
Yeah, I'll just point out to everybody, bear in mind, from Buffalo onwards, we're back to a five-hour time difference, so it's full-on late-night Pens again.
It's always full-on late-night Pens, Rob, you know that. My predictions, I'm not going to sit on the fence, but I really do fear for the Jets game tomorrow night. I think if we lose that one, I think we'll go 2-2 in those four games. But I think if we beat the Jets, I can see us winning all four. That's all I'm going to say on the matter. Those three games, definitely at home, the Jets, the Isles and the Sabres, you definitely expect us to win. And then the Rangers away, you would suspect that they probably would stop the rot, and stop the streak at 16. But there's something about the Jets that concerns me. Having said that, we have sort of started winning ugly, which, you know, sort of out jetting the Jets really. But tomorrow night, I just fear for that game. The Isles, I think we've got too much for them, even on a bad day this season. The Sabres, again, I think we've got too much for them. And then the Rangers, I think it is a bit of a coin toss, really. Especially, you know, if we're sort of gone there winning the last 16, it's got to stop somewhere. As we said earlier, you can't win every single game, so it's a danger game. But for me, we beat the Jets, we'll win all four. If not, we'll go 2-2. So that's where I'm going to leave it.
So what? So you're giving us two sets of predictions there, John?
Well, you see, if you look at it, you could look at it that way, Rob, and that would be a very simplistic viewpoint. Because Yorkshire Rob's not here, you could argue that he could take one of those predictions.
Ah, you're predicting for Yorkshire Rob now, aren't you, as well?
Well, in absentia, absolutely.
And seeing as how pessimistic, I suppose, is the word he can sometimes be.
He can have the 2-2, I'll take the 4-0 then.
That's it, yeah.
And to be honest, I think that's probably a good point for us to wrap this podcast up, don't you think, guys?
I do, yeah.
I agree, yeah.
I'd like to say thank you very much to James for stepping in at the last minute and doing so admirably. So thank you, James.
Yeah, cheers, James.
We will call on you again. Don't you worry about that.
Get your 87 seconds ready.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, that's Rob. That's true. Do you want to do it now, James?
I've heard how difficult it is, so I think I'll give myself a bit of time and come back with that one.
Fair dues. Well, it leaves me to say thank you very much. Thank you, as usual, for following us on Twitter, Brit Pens Fan Club, and following us on Facebook, on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/BritPensFanClub. We appreciate all the retweets, all the comments, all the interaction. It does make it worthwhile when you're stopping up at 1 and 2 in the morning covering games. Hopefully you enjoy it half as much as we do. And thank you, and we'll speak to you soon. Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We are not an official fan club of the Pittsburgh Penguins. The opinions given are our personal ones and not representative of the Pittsburgh Penguins organization.